Let's call upon our God now in prayer. Let's pray. Our gracious God in heaven, you are the one who deserves all the honor and the praise. And you have not left us in doubt about what you call us to do. Your will is laid out before us in your holy word. Help us this day, O Lord, to have the same kind of prayerful response to your word as the psalmist did, who was one who desired to know your word, to know your will, to love your law, to meditate upon it. We pray that we today, O Lord, would have that same zeal and purpose. You would demonstrate that to us, O Lord, through your Holy Spirit, as we read and hear your word today. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. We're up to Lord's Day 49, so I invite you to turn to the back of the hymnal to page 895 as we look at the third petition. Question and answer 124. Page 895 at the back of the hymnal. We'll read that responsively. I'll ask the question and then we'll together answer. Question 124 asks, what does the third petition mean? Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven means help us and all people to renounce our own wills and without any backtalk to obey your will, for it alone is good. Help everyone carry out his office and calling as willingly and faithfully as the angels in heaven. And that ends the reading of our Heidelberg Catechism. I invite you to turn your Bibles now to Psalm 119. So we read from some portions of this psalm. As you may know, the psalm is arranged to follow the letters of the Hebrew alphabet. That's what the different letters are. And you can see that it begins each section. Actually, each section begins with that letter. So the first letter is like our A, Aleph. And then Beth is the second section. So it's like our letter B. And Gimel is the next one, like our letter G, and so on. We're going to be reading just some of this from verses 1 to 24, and then we'll turn over to verses 121 to 136. So Psalm 119, verses 1 to 24. Hear now God's holy word. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies and seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. They have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. Then I would not be ashamed when I look into all your commandments. I will praise you with uprightness of heart when I learn your judgments, your righteous judgments. I will keep your statutes. Oh, do not forsake me utterly. How could a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With the whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Deal bountifully with your servant, that I may live and keep your word. Open my eyes, that I may see wondrous things from your law. I am a stranger in the earth. Do not hide your commandments from me. My soul breaks with longing for your judgments at all times. You rebuke the proud, the cursed, who stray from your commandments. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept your testimonies. Princes also sit and speak against me, but your servant meditates on your statutes. Your testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. And then from verses 121 to 136. I have done justice and righteousness. Do not leave me to my oppressors. For be surety for your servant for good. Do not let the proud oppress me. My eyes fail from seeking your salvation and your righteous word. Deal with your servant according to your mercy, and teach me your statutes. I am your servant. Give me understanding that I may know your testimonies. It is time for you to act, O Lord, for they have regarded your law as void. Therefore, I love your commandments more than gold, yes, than fine gold. Therefore, all your precepts concerning all things I consider to be right. I hate every false way. Your testimonies are wonderful. Therefore, my soul keeps them. The entrance of your words give light. It gives understanding to the simple. I opened my mouth and panted, for I longed for your commandments. Look upon me and be merciful to me, as your custom is toward those who love your name. Direct my steps by your word, and let no iniquity have dominion over me. Redeem me from the oppression of man, that I may keep your precepts. Make your face shine upon your servant, and teach me your statutes. Rivers of water run down from my eyes, because men do not keep your law. That ends the reading of God's word. May he bless that to our hearts today through the working of the Holy Spirit. I'll encourage you to have Psalm 119 open. So we'll be looking at that this afternoon in light of the third petition. As you may have noticed, we've been working through some of the Psalms, the prayers of the Old Testament, and seeing how they relate to the Lord's Prayer, each petition that he gave to us. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, do you, so we just sang in the words of Psalm 40, do you delight to do God's will? Or is it hard, something hard to do? It's not easy to follow what God wants us to do all the time. It's against our own nature. It's also contrary to the ways of the world. And we know that from church history as well, our own church history, our own Reformed heritage. There are many stories about martyrs during the Reformation who were mocked or imprisoned, put in jail, or harassed as the godless opposed them. By whom was that coming from? Well, interestingly, it came by those who named themselves, who called themselves Christians. People who prayed the Lord's Prayer even, who, you know, wore the rosary around their waist, and they would pray the Lord's Prayer over and over and over again. They were so religious. In church history, Guido de Bray, the author of our Belgic Confession, was imprisoned for his faith. And more than once, the bishop of Utrecht, a prominent church leader at that time, this bishop would come into prison and he would debate Guido de Bray, try to change his mind. But de Bray remained faithful to the end. He was brought to the scaffold to be hanged publicly. And with the noose around his neck, de Bray testified of his love for God and his commandments by warning the gathered crowd, "I have never taught anything other than the pure truth of the Word of God." And right after he said that, he was pushed off the scaffolding right by that church where he was, the stairs that were there, and he died a martyr's death at only the age of 45 years old. The execution of de Bray was but one of many examples in church history of being persecuted by the Church of Rome. In many ways, we see similarities, actually, between Psalm 119 and righteous Guido de Bray in a very similar desperate situation. The psalm writer clung to the truth. He clung to the law of God, but he lived through intense need and distress and tension. He was a godly man who was oppressed by princes, as we read earlier. And he also was weeping over this world and the sin that was there. Yet his love was to do God's will. And that's what we're praying when we pray this petition. The bottom line in this prayer is asking that the Lord's wishes be carried out through us and others. And so we'd like to see that aspect of the Lord's Prayer this afternoon by looking at this psalm as we examine these words. And we'll do that with three points. First of all, we are praying for a submissive heart. Secondly, we're praying for a biblical mind. And then thirdly, we're praying for the godless in this world. So first of all, we see that the third petition is praying for a submissive heart. The greatest and most important purpose of our lives is to follow God's commands and find delight in them. David, who likely is the author of this psalm, inspired by the Holy Spirit, wrote this massive psalm on this theme. Just notice, for example, the opening. Again, this is how it starts out. "Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord." Verse 2, "Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with the whole heart. They also," verse 3, do no iniquity, they walk in his ways." So what David is saying is that there's ultimate joy and blessing when we follow God's will. The problem, however, is our sinful nature. Our hearts are contrary to the will of God. There are over 7 billion sinful natures right now in the world. And none of them is pure. Life is a constant battle of the wills. Boys and girls, you with your brothers and sisters, you end up fighting. Why? It's because of your own sinful will. It's why there's conflict between young people, teenagers, and parents. There's something going on in the heart of a teenager who doesn't submit to the wishes of his or her parents. And the same can be said about conflicts that come in marriage. It's due often to selfish hearts and lives that are not willing to submit to the will of God. Or there's pride because neither is willing to concede that the other might be right. And we see it everywhere. We see it in Canadian politics. Each political party thinks that their will is best. And parliamentarians will stand up and they'll stand up in the House of Commons and they'll clash with one another on the floor. And then we also see the President of the United States asserting his own will over Congress. They all want to assert their wills. And we find the same problem when we go through the Scriptures. Adam and Eve failed to follow the word of the Lord and instead listened to Satan. And as a result, the entire human race has been cursed, has been condemned. And the same can be said for Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, who hardened his heart against God's commands to let his people go, Israel. And he resisted the Lord. And this, of course, brought the 10 plagues, God's judgments on Egypt, including his own death. We can see it with Israel, the people of Israel wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. God sent snakes as punishments. He caused the enemy to rise against them. And then think of the kings later on. King Saul, who seemed to have so much promise and yet resisted the commands of the Lord. And there is that one passage after battle with the Amalekites, having not destroyed everything that he was commanded to do, Samuel coming to him saying, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. What's the problem in all of these examples? Well, the problem is that our wills are distorted by sin and pride. We're not God-centered, we're self-centered. We're stubborn, we're proud, and do not humble ourselves before the Lord. And it's even in nature. You know, you can see it with your own pet, your dog, who has that dominant nature. You're always having to, you know, train it. Don't jump up on me, you know, stay down. To teach him not to do all of those things. That's exactly what we're like. Our will is bent on doing our own thing, and we naturally do not comply. So that's why, congregation, we're commanded to pray, your will be done. We come face to face with the fact that our will is wrong and needs to be corrected. We're confronted with the fact that our will needs to be pliable to God's will. We're asking that God would give us a submissive heart. And that's what we find this psalmist is doing. We look again at the opening section, the Aleph part of it, verses 5 and 6. It says, "Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. Then I would not be ashamed when I look into your commandments." So David is admitting that he can't do it. He doesn't have the strength to keep God's commandments. The first few tries to obedience quickly convince us of how completely helpless we are, which is why we need to pray the same thing. Lord, help us to keep your will. Help us to obey you as we ought to. And when we pray that way, from the heart, when there's that earnest desire to have our heart submit to the Lord, he gives grace. For Jesus himself did that. All his life, he was concerned about doing the will of the Father. But God's will was hard for him. We read about that in the Garden of Gethsemane, how three times Jesus prayed that prayer, "Not my will, but your will be done," as he aligned himself with the will of God. Well, what was the will of God? It was all predicted in Scripture, Isaiah 53. It was his Father's will to bruise him and to punish him for our sins. So by praying this prayer just before dying on the cross, Jesus was asking for a submissive heart. He's the only one who can fulfill God's will. He's the only one who has fulfilled God's will, who lived a perfect life, and who listened completely to God. So how about you today? Do you pray that you would have a submissive heart to God's perfect commandments? Are you, like David, praying that your ways and your conduct would be directed by God's standards and his statutes? Do you pray, verse 10, from the heart, with my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Oh, Lord, grant to me a heart that's submissive to you. So often, this is the root of our problems and of our difficulties. It's the fact that we're bucking against the Lord. That's the whole difficulty of being a Christian. We constantly have to reject our own wills in order to be truly blessed. And we need to be able to say, along with John Calvin, who prayed that famous prayer, "My heart I offer to you, O Lord, promptly and sincerely." This shouldn't be done with a spirit of resignation. There are some who do his will because they feel they have no other choice. They consider themselves little more than robots in God's service. There's no delight to be one of God's children and to listen to his instruction. But neither should it be that we do God's will out of resentment. You know, that's the attitude that children can have sometimes. If they are told to do something by their parents, they don't feel like doing it. And they'll do what they're told, but, you know, it'll be with a lot of talk back and a lot of grumbling. You know, I don't really want to do this, right? That's how we are. Hope that's not the case for any of our children here today. But that's not how we're to pray either. God's not a hard, cruel, unjust, oppressive God. He's just. He's compassionate. He's kind. And all we have to do is see that the Lord expects that we will listen to his word and willingly keep it. He's not an unjust father. He actually seeks our fellowship. He wants our fellowship. He wants us to walk closely with him. And if that's how we are, then we're truly blessed, as this psalm says in verse 1. Blessed is that man. Blessed is that woman who's like this. It's nothing better than to be in harmony with God in that way. It serves not only his interests, but our own self-interests as well. As that hymn says, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And that's exactly what we're saying in the Heidelberg Catechism. Help us to renounce our own wills and without any back talk to obey your will. You might be dealing with a certain sin in your life right now. Be assured that you can pray. Your will be done. And God will help you. Are you having a hard time with complaining, with being content? Especially when it comes to doing what God asks you to do. Children, that's you. Pray the third petition, and the Lord will help you. And let us also remember to pray this prayer, because we all fall short. We all fall short of what God expects us to do. And we all need his help to do what he's called us to do. And so that's our first point, a prayer for a submissive heart. Well, it leads us to what we see secondly, that the third petition is a prayer for a biblical mind. And this is really at the heart of the third commandment. When Jesus taught the disciples this, how to pray, they are to focus on God's law, specifically to ask God that every action may be determined by God's will revealed in Scripture. In a word, we're praying for a biblical mind. We need our minds saturated with God's word so that we might have wisdom and know how to live in God's sight. That's really the prayer that David expresses here again in this psalm, in some of the verses that we read. Verse 12 again says, "Blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your statutes." Or look down at verse 18. "Open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law." We didn't read this verse. Verse 37, it says, "Turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things and revive me in your way." And then when we get into some of the other middle parts of the Psalms, verse 127, it says, "Therefore I love your commandments more than gold, yes, than fine gold." Verse 28, "Therefore all your precepts concerning all things I consider to be right. I hate every false way." And then we read from verse 133, where it says, "Direct my steps by your word, and let no iniquity have dominion over me." All these prayers, and many more like them in this entire psalm, David, through that, is praying that his mind and heart, but his mind, would be directed by God's holy word. Not only is that a prayer of David, it's the prayer of Christ himself. David predicted Christ's resolve in another psalm, the one that we sang from for our opening song, our song of preparation, Psalm 40, verse 8, which says, "Behold, I come in the scroll, it is written of me, I delight to do your law, O God, and your law is written in my heart." That's what Jesus came to do. We read of that in the Gospels. John 4, verse 34 says, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." John 6, 38, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me," being the Father. Everything that Jesus did was in fulfillment of God's perfect standards. His entire mind and his life were devoted to following the Scriptures to the minutest detail. He prayed that he would live by that word. You remember what he said to Satan when he was being tempted in the wilderness? "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by what? But by every word which proceeds from the mouth of God." And that's the Christ-like attitude that we should have as well, which is why we must pray for a mind that is filled with the Scriptures. That's the beauty of verse 9, as we express it in one of the songs in our Trinity Psalter hymnal. "How shall the young direct their way? What light shall be their perfect guide? Thy word, O Lord, will safely lead if in its wisdom they confide. Sincerely I have sought you, Lord. Oh, let me not from thee depart to know your will and keep from sin. Thy word I cherish in my heart." That's the challenge to every child and every young person, to know your Bibles. Put the word in your heart. Memorize it. Make a point of spending regular times and devotions. You know, are you not sure what God's will is for your life? Do you have questions? How do I live? Well, every young person has that. Sometimes life is puzzling. But the Word of God is sufficient for salvation and to help you to know how to live. Is it God's will for you that you are engaged to be married? Do you wonder who are the best choices for friends? Do you know the right decisions when you're being encouraged to do something that's questionable? And you might be almost in the way, on the path of sin. What helps you to stay away from that? Well, it's the Word of God. It's when it's in your heart and when you desire to obey it. That's what we need to pray for, a biblical mind. And we're also praying that God would help us to carry out our office and calling. All of us have different offices in life, different callings in life. All have different variety of gifts as parents, as children, as seniors, as professionals, as laborers. We're to pray that God would give to us minds that are attuned to the Word of God so that we might carry out that office, that place that God's given us in this life. As dads and moms, we're to know God's Word concerning fatherhood and motherhood. Wives are to be familiar with what the Word or what the Bible says about being a faithful wife. Widows are to know, what does the Bible say about being a widow? How should I live as a widow? What does the Bible say? The Lord wants us to search His Word. And we also need biblical minds in our hardships and trials. If we're a son or a daughter taking care of an aging parent, we pray for grace to help us to do this in a way that honors God. If we're single, we pray for grace to live that way that we would willingly and faithfully carry out the work that God has called us to. It's in the same for a hardship. We pray, Lord, help me to accept the adversity that I'm in, even though I don't understand it. Help me to know that Your Word is true. Your grace is sufficient to meet every need in life. And you see, here's where prayer takes on that dimension. It breathes real life. And the real things that we're dealing with all the time. It's similar for an unknown future. You know, when the Lord gave His command to Israel, He didn't want them trusting, you know, soothsayers and astronomers. Astrologies, rather. They were to look to the stars for their future. They were to look to the Lord and His Word for guidance. And we all have our struggles. We all have questions. Father, what do you want me to do? What is your will for me in this situation? How do I work this out? We might not get clear answers, but we have God's perfect Word. And we can always pray for grace. And it's true, we are weak and imperfect. We just don't have it in ourselves. And to do God's will, even just to do it, is just a small beginning of our obedience. And we can't will God's will when life is full of problems. So where do we go for help? We need help, congregation. If we're to have the Father's will in our mind, we need His Word to be in our minds, that we would have biblical thoughts in every situation that we're facing. It's the only way that we can move forward. So that's the second thought. Pray for a biblical mind. Thirdly, we're to pray the third petition, because it's a prayer for this godless world. Just like the first petition is a prayer that all people would hallow God's name, this is also a prayer that people who aren't under the lordship of Christ, and by faith at least, by their repentance, that they would reject their own wills and follow God's goodwill alone. Again, look at the psalm. This comes out in many places, but Psalm verse 136 of Psalm 119, it says, "Rivers of water fall down from my eyes because men do not keep your law." There's other verses like that. Verse 155, "Salvation is far from the wicked, for they do not seek your statutes." How about us? Is that a prayer that describes us? Are we grieved by this world? Who else but believers are going to weep over the growing violence? You know, the expansions of euthanasia against the mentally ill. The increase of hatred that we see in this world against others. The violence. Do we weep over the state of our land and the breakdown of marriage? Aren't we saddened by this? Doesn't it make us weep? And when we think again of Jesus Christ, who was so concerned to follow the law perfectly, he also was saddened by the state of Israel. He literally wept for Israel, the covenant people of God. He taught God's word. But, you know, as we've been seeing in our look at the Sermon on the Mount, the Pharisees had their legalism and their phony leadership. Jesus came to humbly teach God's statutes, but they were prideful and they didn't keep God's law. That grieved the Lord. We read at the end of Matthew, he calls them whitewashed tombs. Had no regard for God. In the hardness of their hearts, they were committing blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. But Jesus had a missionary heart. And he reached out to sinners and brought to them his glorious salvation. So we're therefore being called to pray for all people, including ourselves, that all would be godly. And we're praying against the godlessness of this world. We're praying that people would obey the Lord like heavenly creatures do, the angels. Think of heaven. Got all these heavenly creatures, angels, seraphim, cherubim. They do exactly what God says. They don't talk back to God. If the Lord tells them to do something, they do it. They're ministering spirits, agents of God's providence, carry out God's work of redemption. And they've done that throughout history. We read about that in the Bible. Appearing to Abraham, or appearing to the prophets, or ministering to Jesus in times of great need. You never hear of an angel disobeying an order in heaven. They never complain. They never question God's word. They excel in strength and do his word. They obey his voice. And they don't act on their own authority. At least the godly angels we're talking about here. They exist as beings who do his will and totally are obedient to the voice of his word. Well, that's what the third petition is all about. We're asking that we would be like that. It's asking that the Lord will yet have mercy on people today. Because earth is not hell. It's not eternal hell. Earth is still a place where God is at work with his Spirit. And he's still changing us. And he still can change people today. And so we pray as his church that God would blot out the sins of those in the world and draw them to the only hope that can be found, which is in Jesus Christ. And we're praying that the Spirit would open our minds and everyone else's to the Word. For God delights in saving sinners and granting them eternal life in His Son. So this is not an easy petition, but it's a necessary one, as the Lord calls us to pray because he knows that we need to pray it. And so let us make sure that we do. Father, sanctify us in Christ. Renew us by the power of your Holy Spirit, that more and more we may know and understand and obey your will, for it alone is good. Amen. Let's call upon our God in prayer. Father, we thank you for the fact that you have brought your word to us, that we've had the privilege of sitting and understanding it. Help us, Lord, to understand the unbelievable privilege of having the mind of Christ by the Spirit of God so that we can properly know what is right. Help us, Lord, to protect our minds, to learn, to think, to set our minds in the things that matter. We thank you, O God, for the rich storehouses of your word, which provide for us an unending well of clear, refreshing water of truth, that we can truly be saturated with that which is true, that which is honorable, which is right and pure and lovely and of good repute. And since there is excellence in the Christian life, and since there are some things so worthy of praise, we would think on these things. We pray that you would guard our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. May we be people of prayer, people of the Spirit in everything that we do and say. May your word be our constant guide in our attitudes towards each other, in the way that we speak and in our interactions with one another. We pray for our gentleness, that our gentleness would be made known to all, and that we would not be those who worry, but those who trust in you in all things. And so, Father, grant to us an answer to this petition, your will be done as it is in heaven. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.